TalkZone.com.
TalkZone presents The League of Dads, featuring Christopher Smith, the show that helps fathers know their legal and constitutional rights and helps them with custody and child support issues. Here's your host for The League of Dads, Christopher Smith.
And we're back. Another week has gone by. This is our second show. I want to thank you for stopping in and enjoying. Just we have a beautiful day over here on the East Coast. All right, we're going to jump right into it. Last week, we left off with touched bases on a couple of topics. I wanted to do something a little bit different this week in helping you, the individual. There's a lot of people out there that probably don't understand the structure of law as well as I speak it. I may be saying some things to you, the listeners out there, and you may not be able to grasp the angle in which I'm really coming in at what I'm trying to say. So I'm going to touch bases on that a little bit more. I was going to read off two emails that I've gotten. I'm only going to read off one email that I've gotten. I'm also going to give you, just my thought. It's just a little part of the show where I like to just talk a little bit and let you give you an idea of what's on my mind, and then we'll close the show out. First thing I'm going to do is help people understand, get people a better understanding of law. Some people think that the law system that we have here in the United States is sound, that there is absolutely nothing wrong with it. It works. There are some people that would say otherwise. My personal opinion is, don't put yourself in a situation where you have to find out. There are people out there, institutions out there that help vindicate people when they're wrongly accused or things of that sort. There are places that you can call and get some information on, such as the League of Dads, when you felt that you was injusted in family court, is what we deal with. But the law in the United States, I'm a really jump into that. When you understand law, let's break it down. We're going to go with the United States, then your state, then your county, then your city. Because with that being said, you narrow it down to what is known as a jurisdiction. A jurisdiction is pretty much the perimeter in which individuals have the right to handle that crime. The United States overall, is federal. That's who handles our direct constitution violation of our constitutional rights is a federal violation. I'm touching bases on this because when individuals come to the League of Dads, they're not really in the right frame of mind. Like I said last week, they're either panicking, they're very excited, and they don't know exactly what's going on. They just assumed that they was going to go to court and just get to say what they needed to say and everything would just happen the right way. Then there are other individuals that don't go through this at all, hear an individual talk about it, and they're skeptical. But let's go with New York City, for example. We're going to use New York City because it's a very familiar city. New York City, like every other city, was founded and then it was incorporated as a city. Keyword, incorporated. Incorporation is no different than JCPenney. They incorporate. They are an incorporation. When JCPenney, incorporated, they had to use something that they had to go to incorporate. So in most cases, it's the Secretary of State for New York City. So they incorporate with the Secretary of State for New York City, and now they're an incorporation. The same thing with New York City. It's incorporation when they incorporate it. But like JCPenney, New York City has to make money. They incorporate. They have expenses. Just like JCPenney, it may seem kind of odd, but it all makes sense a little bit later as I tell the story. Where does crime come in this scenario? Well, a lot of people would not like to believe that people actually profit off of our legal system, but in fact, they do. For example, when a county court incorporates, they have to then get their license, and part of their requirement to practice law. This is a county court now, New York City court. I believe the capital of New York City is Albany, New York. They have to abide by the Constitution. The Constitution, as I stated earlier, is the federal big brother. We'll use that term, the federal big brother. If you do not act right, you must report to big brother. So county court then gets their license to practice law under the guidelines of the big brother, aka federal court, meaning they must follow the Constitution. Now, county court needs to employ people. When you go to county court, you're going to see a clerk, you're going to see a judge, et cetera, et cetera. These people they're on an income, all right? When you get a ticket within that jurisdiction, you are paying a ticket to help that county or that jurisdiction create and produce revenue for itself. Here on the East Coast, Northeast, that is, we get snowstorms, things of that nature. Well, when they plow the roads and things of that nature, all salt and all these machines that they use to clear the streets, people don't give it to these counties because they're counties. They charge these individuals just as they charge you and I. So understand that. Now, where does crime come in at? And family court. Let's kick crime out of the equation now. I said that before. Let's stick with family court. Now, you have a family court judge. You have a jurisdiction that has, let's just go with a number of three family court judges. These family court judges, as well as their staff, each judge have court reporters. They have individual right next to them that handles the judge the next case. They have the bailiff, things of that nature. Each judge are appointed. Their chambers and their little crew or their little staff, as you will. They need to make money. Okay. Us fathers, we go to court. And here's where we run into the bureaucracy, red tape, the BS, whatever you want to call it. You go to court, and what do you think the court is going to do if they have one person that's running to them for assistance, and they have another individual that just wants to resolve this matter and get on with trying to have a sound relationship with the child, having a peaceful situation in raising the child? You can't possibly think that the courts themselves are then going to say, well, we are going to rule that, you know, things be even amongst the two. Well, if that was to happen, people, you will have a system that won't be in business come Wednesday. They would be out of business. There would be harmony amongst family, and there will be no need for family court. This is the grand reason why when us fathers go to court, things are lopsided. And it's not for us, because society has everybody pegged. I remember when debit cards first came out. I was against debit cards because I was claiming that I wanted to live fee free. I didn't want to have all these fees and everything connected with getting my money. I would continue to go back to the bank, or I would write a check. So one thing courts knows about us men, we go to court with anxiety. We go to court scared. We go to court knowing that the deck is stacked against us. And we use what the last individual went through, and we go to court scared. The judges and your ex-wife or your girlfriend, whomever you bear the child with, knows this. This is why the first thing a woman, a disgruntled mother says, I'm taking you to court. That is a threat. No one is going to take you to something when there's going to be an even fight. No one, I'm not going to invite the Yankees to play me in a win for all championship baseball game. That's not my game. I don't play baseball. So if you, the father that is, find yourself in a situation and you would often hear from a disgruntled an ex-wife or a disgruntled a girlfriend, I'm going to take you to child support court. I'm just going to go ahead and take you to court. I'm going to take you in front of the man being the courts. And the courts will not disappoint. The courts will, in fact, support this individual and all the wicked things that they do. This is why when us fathers go to court, when we speak, we get judges with dumb looks on their face. And the look on their face is just telling us, I really don't care what you're saying. And then, in fact, how are you going to respond when you're trying to talk to an individual and they're acting as if they're not even listening to you? I know the last time I went to court and I battled Judge James Triano in the Essex County court system in Newark, New Jersey. This idiot tried to tell me that because I received a letter from the court stating that, in fact, they did not properly serve me. They did not tell me who I was going to go see. They did not give me a window of response time, nor did they even tell me who to respond to. This judge, this is a direct violation of my constitutional rights. This judge was so comfortable in saying, look, I'm on the woman's side here. Because she is disgruntled and she's keeping me employed. Well, I had to tell her, and that actually what Judge James Triano said, I told him that I, in fact, got a letter from the head family court judge stating that, in fact, the procedure in up to this point, there was a violation of the Constitution. I didn't say violation of the Constitution. I basically said I got a letter from the court basically saying it was a violation in the procedure. He looked left. He looked right. He looked at me and pointed on his chest and said, it's not up to them. It's up to me. I kind of politely said to him, well, here's what I know. I know that I was improperly served, Judge. And if you go forward with this hearing today, you are in direct violation of my constitutional rights to a fair trial. I battled this judge for 40 minutes before he gave me what I want. I battled this judge. You would think that I tried to talk to this guy's wife. You would think that I came to his house and tried to steal his car. This guy never met me before. This individual never seen me before. Fathers, to keep in tradition with what the courts do to us fathers when we go to court, this guy had to be mad at me as if I did something to him. But like I said in our maiden voyage of the League of Dads talk show, I am at my best when that happens. If anybody knows me, if anybody, you know, I have two of my best friends was in the military with me, and they know that I am at my best when you're trying to deny me something and I know I'm right. I tried to be humble in my beginnings when I first started. And I believe now, as I told the judges the last time I went into court, is that don't take my cockiness, don't take my confidence for arrogance. And I believe that now in 2010, it is best to go to court right now in my present state to go to court and let them know right off the back. I am cocky and I'm arrogant. I'm just going to let you know. I'm going to tell you right up front. I'm going to be blunt with it because I know what you're going to do to me. And that is to give us fathers, to give you fathers out there a grand understanding as to why the courts are so much not on your side. When I studied, as I stated, I did some sovereign law studies. What sovereign law people is, in a very quick and direct point, sovereign law is basically the original law of the land, aka the Constitution. Sovereign law is the original law without being watered down. And what I mean by watered down is, I'm gonna give you one example. The Constitution says we have a right to free travel. But everyone out there that drives know that you paid for your driver's license, you paid to register your car, you pay to you're paying insurance. Well, the Constitution says you have a right to free travel. So what happens after time is somebody sits down and they say, well, we need to make money, so we're going to go ahead and amend. So basically you have the Constitution with a stack of amendments. You have a bunch of bills. You have a bunch of things stacked onto the Constitution, which waters down the Constitution, which brings us to what we know the law is today. And that's what you go by. And that is why, and that is the grandest thing that we do here at the League of Dads. When it comes to this action, I am deeply involved in it. I am very in-depth with it. And when I go to court and when you – become a member of the League of Dads. This is why we have 100% success rate. 100% success rate is because we simply says this is all we want. Cut the shenanigans, cut the BS. I can basically tell you where your money goes when you pay a ticket. I can tell you why when you go to traffic court, even if you win. I can tell you, and you probably already know this if you've been involved, you're still going to pay something. They're not going to let you leave court without paying something. And it's a very ugly scenario. This is why I tell individuals when you have a situation when once court is involved, try your best to get yourself out of that situation because it's not going to be good. The longer, the worse. It's just worse off. Last week, I told you that I'm going to give you a brief understanding about a case that went on that came to the League of Dads attention down in Alabama. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that very briefly with basically everything that I just said. Excuse me. It'll help start that that conversation off because with that case, a lot of other entities – I'm sorry, entities. There are a lot of other federal organizations – I don't even think – okay, I would say state organizations that got involved. And basically when these state organizations got involved – the cops, the police down in Alabama, basically had to stand down, which was surprising to me. You know, doing this thing that I do and helping fathers understand their rights, a lot of things that I've heard about over the years come back to me, and when someone that I now have to help is involved with it, I look at it a lot different. I would never looked at child services before this incident in Alabama. I never looked at child services like the way I look at it now. And surprisingly, how an organization put in place to help children have a more jurisdiction than the police. That was just something that I couldn't believe. So when you hear me talk about this case down in Alabama, you'll pretty much get a better understanding as to what's going on. So that's pretty much the law. There's a profit involved when you're dealing with the law. It wasn't until I started studying sovereign law that I understood that, listen, when you get arrested, you post a bond. And when you play the stock market, we trade stocks and bonds. It is the same bond that you post, and it's the same bond that is traded on the stock market. Had an individual in my sovereign study group. He was very good at what he at studying sovereign law. And this individual helped another individual find the company that was investing in his bond, and turned around and when he went to court, he basically helped the courts understand that they had an interest in the outcome of his case. He at that time was going to was being accused of it was criminal, but he was being accused of sexual assault. He had a massage parlor, and individuals claimed that he touched them in a way that was inappropriate. And the individual that we were studying with actually found his bond and got the information, got the transcript, got the name of the company that was investing in his bond, and he went to court, and he basically wanted to renegotiate his plea, things of that nature, because he was able to prove that in fact the courts had an interest in the outcome of the court case. Whenever you have the court system, the court system is supposed to be unbiased. And basically what that means is the court system is not supposed to have an interest in the court case. They shouldn't, because if that's the case, we would have our system of law would be so corrupt. Our system of law would not work as well as it does today. I don't have any ill will towards law. I believe that we need it. I believe that because of law, we're better off.